Let's hear together the words of Jesus from John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, so remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And I added one more verse since I sent it to the computer up there, the 9th verse. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." Let's pause there and pray. Good Father, gracious Father, teach us again that we cannot live by bread alone, but that we live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. And open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, that living word who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, friends. In the summer of 2023, tech pioneer and adventurer Stockton Rush led a team of four other crew and passengers in a deep sea submersible. Their goal in the North Atlantic was to find and examine again the wreck of the Titanic. Everything was highest of high tech, carbon fiber chamber meant to survive the descent into such depths and such pressure. There were delicate electronics. There was everything you would need to depend on to maintain a connection to the surface. So every few minutes, there were texts exchanged between the topside command and the capsule going deeper. There were pings every 4 seconds to satisfy and identify exact location. There was communication, there was signal, there was contact, until that connection was lost. And the moment the connection was lost, everyone topside really knew. They really knew. They wanted to believe, but they really knew. Everything had changed, and it didn't matter how much advanced preparation had gone into it. It didn't matter how much military support they got over the next 5 days from the Coast Guard, the U.S. Navy, and the Canadian Navy. Everyone already knew what the answer was going to be. Without connection, everything and everyone was lost. Without connection, there was no life. And Jesus, in this short teaching, Jesus says almost the same thing, doesn't he? He says something just as stark. Apart from me, connection broken. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Y'all, you can do a little less. You can do something, but it'll be of slightly lower quality. Let's hear it for what he says. Apart from me, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. The context for this, John 15, if you still got your Bibles open, this is not abstract classroom teaching. This is not Jesus with the disciples on a smart board with the markers, gaming out a plan for the future. This is not Jesus even with the mega crowds on the hillside, casting a vision to thousands, even though he did some of that. This is not a chance sentence. It's not a chance teaching. It's a choice. It's a choice. A choice word at a choice moment for Jesus and his disciples. Jesus had already upset the whole evening's Passover tradition together as rabbi and his students. They would have likely already celebrated at least two. This was maybe their third Passover together, but these men had celebrated Passover all their lives. Jesus turned the whole celebration on its head. The way he took the bread, the traditional Passover bread, and said, "This is my body given for you." And an extra blessing, he added the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then, as if to put an exclamation point on all that he'd already done, remember what he did? John tells it right before this. He gets up from the table. Jesus, the host, stands up from the table. He takes off his regular clothes and he wraps himself in the garment of, in the towel of a servant. And he begins to go one to one and wash their feet. So now the dinner is done. They're walking out for the night, likely walking from Jerusalem through the Kidron Valley, a valley of vineyards, on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is Jesus walking toward the cross. This is Jesus with the last poignant words. They are walking and talking. He is pouring out literally his last teachings, his final words, his final clarity. And what does he leave them with? Guys, stay connected. Stay connected, because life only flows where connection grows. I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Let's walk through. Can we walk through the characters in this little parable, in this little illustration about Jesus and the Father, the vine dresser, and we as the branches? If you want a deep dive, some of you are Bible scholars, if you want a deep dive into understanding like New Testament era grape tending and vineyards, look at Margaret Feinberg's book, Scouting the Divine. Margaret Feinberg, Scouting the Divine, or Bruce Wilkinson's little book, Secrets of the Vine. Both of them, great stuff. Both of them, we could just do a lecture on vines right now, right? And we could kind of lose the important part. We could get all that historical background there. But if you want that, go find it. There's good stuff there. But let's just get the highlights here. Who are the three people, the three characters at play in Jesus' teaching? I am the vine and you are the branches. First, there's the Father. First, there's the Father, the one who sent Jesus in the first place. The Father is the vine dresser. He is the owner of the vineyard. And the owner of the vineyard has a single goal, a solitary goal. The owner, the vine dresser, the Father is committed to the production of fruit. Right? This is not a hobby farm. This is not a tax shelter, right? We'll lose some money farming to cover over what we're doing over here. This is serious. The owner, the Father, the vine dresser, he wants the grapes. He wants the most grapes, and he wants the best grapes he can possibly get. That is his one goal, the production of fruit. The Father is the vine dresser. Jesus, he says it right, I am the vine. I am the true vine. The vine on the vineyard, the vine, it's like the trunk of the tree. It's the most important part. It's the part that takes the water from the ground and then distributes it, presses it out through all the branches so that there is nourishment and so that there is eventually fruit. Jesus is the main trunk. He is the source of life and nourishment. The Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. And you are what? I'm the vine, Jesus says, and you are the branches. You are the branches. The branches are the places where grapes grow. Right? This is the business end of the vineyard. This is the action place. This is where you want everything focused. And what you need to know, y'all, Margaret Feinberg and Bruce Wilkins, you can learn all kind of stuff about vineyards. But what you really need to know, what we really need to know, is that the branches are not independent. The branches don't sprout themselves from the ground. For a branch to do what a branch has to do, it has to stay connected to the vine. It has to stay connected to the trunk. The branch is always dependent. Branches never produce life on their own. Branches always receive life from the main part of the vine. Branches don't produce life on their own. They always receive life from the vine. So let's hear Jesus' words again in John 15:5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'll say it again. Not less. Not a little bit of a lower quality. Not you'll get by. We're approaching graduation season. You've heard the expression, right? C's get degrees, right? It's not what Jesus is talking about here. Not you'll get by. I love this. Some of you medical folks, you know, what do they call the person who finished last in their class in medical school? Doctor. That's right. It doesn't matter. First or last, doctor. But this is not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is not saying, without me, you can make a decent impression. He says it, without me, you can do nothing. You can build a respectable career. You can raise a beautiful family. You can stay busy and engaged even at church. Y'all, that's where that gets me, because I can stay busy and engaged at church. And the question for me and the question for you is, where's the connection? Where's the connection spiritually, eternally? Are we producing the fruit that Jesus describes? Fruit that will last. Fruit that only grows from connection. Y'all, I think this is why sometimes we weaken our testimony to others who are not yet believers. Because we try to sell the church. We try to sell Jesus as just one more form of life improvement. And maybe we tell our own testimonies that way. Not that I was really lost and Jesus found me. But oh, life was kind of, you know, it was good, and I kind of realized something was up, and then I found Jesus and it got better. That may not be a testimony to Jesus, friends. That may not be a testimony to Jesus. Because he says, apart from him, nothing will grow. No fruit will grow. So what is fruit? The biblical definition. Fruit is not just winning people to Christ. It's not just getting more people in. Fruit is anything in your life. It can be communal or congregational, and it can be individual. Fruit is anything in your life that reflects the life of God. Anything in your life that reflects the life of God, that is fruit. A couple of key scriptures to think about. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 starts out with the negative. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take. But blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his word, on his law, day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Now see that picture for a moment. A tree, I'm mixing up the tree and the vine, I know. But see that tree that's planted right by a stream. So there's a water source all the time. It says it produces its fruit in season. But if it's got water flowing, every season can be its season. Friends, that's the promise of the fruit of God. That's the promise of spiritual fruit in your life. In connection to the vine, in season and out of season, Paul writes to Timothy. In season and out of season, good fruit grows. Healthy fruit grows on a tree connected, on a branch connected to the vine. Again to the New Testament, so you know I'm not plucking just from the Old Testament. Galatians chapter 5, Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit. He describes the fruit of disconnection first. And then he describes the fruit of connection. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Spiritual fruit. I love how John Stott summarizes it in the human heart and the human character. Growing spiritual fruit, John Stott says, is starting out with thin skin and a hard heart and moving to thick skin and a soft heart. I'll say that again. John Stott's definition of growing in spiritual fruit, moving from having thin skin and a hard heart toward thick skin and a soft heart. The fruit of God's presence in your life, growing abundant spiritual fruit, it looks like this. It's patience. When you used to fly off the handle, when you would react or overreact. Spiritual fruit is integrity. It's what you do and what you say when no one is watching. Or how you honor the person who is absent from the room or from the conversation. Spiritual fruit is peace even in times of pressure, when everything comes in and maybe even feels like it's collapsing in. And you can ground yourself in a peace, as the scripture says, a peace that is beyond all human understanding, peace that will guard your heart because it comes from the flow of connection to Christ. Spiritual fruit is perseverance, which is simply faithfulness plus time. Faithfulness plus time, perseverance, holding on in the same direction, in the same truth, in the same love from now till the end. Fruit is what happens when the life of Jesus flows through you. I think we can imagine this tangibly. We can imagine the Lord Jesus coming, the head of we can imagine the Father, the vine dresser, coming and seeing four baskets that might depict, that might describe the kind of fruit in our life. Imagine basket number one. Basket number one simply has no fruit. Basket number one simply has no fruit. And now remember here, let's be clear, Jesus is speaking to his followers, to disciples. He's not talking to non-believers. So the non-believers, that's a whole different, there's not even a basket, let's just say that. But basket number one, the believer's basket that has no fruit, this is a person who's simply busy and not fruitful. And notice what Jesus says the vine dresser does. He doesn't kick you out. He doesn't cut you off, because this is the branch. Hear it. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. The branch is still in me. He's not kicking you out of the kingdom. You're not losing your salvation because you didn't produce fruit. This is the place, Hebrews 12, this is the place of discipline. This is the place where the Father is stepping in and drawing close. And you might feel His sharpness or His conviction, but He doesn't draw close to squash you or to harm you. He comes close with the precision of a surgeon to cut out whatever sin is distracting you or killing you from your connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. The person who has no fruit is in the need of that conviction, of that discipline, so that the Father can root out whatever is destroying you from the inside. So the challenge might be for you, if you recognize this as a season of fruitlessness. Where is your life full of activity and empty of fruit? And what's at the heart of that fruitlessness that may be threatening the very flow of your connection, of your life? Basket one. Basket two has some fruit. This is good, it's good fruit, but it's not quite full. And it's in this place, the second basket, some fruit, where God prunes. All right, so God cuts where there is sin or where there's destruction. God wants to cut and burn and get away. This is simply pruning. God wants to prune. He wants to take away what might be good so that there is space on your vine, on your branch, to grow what is even better. I like the story of Christian hip-hop artist Lecrae. Lecrae had what most people would call a fruitful life. He was a Grammy Award winner, had a massive platform, influence in both Christian culture and mainstream culture by every visible measure. There was fruit everywhere. But in interviews, he talks about this season when everything started to unravel for him internally. There was anxiety, there was identity confusion. There was pressure. He felt pressure from every side to maintain a particular image. And underneath it all was a disconnect from God that was at odds with the outward success he was receiving. Lecrae says, I built my identity on being needed, on being impactful, and on being important. And God had to strip all that away. Notice in the way he tells his story, there was nothing he was doing that was outright bad. It was all good things, good ministry, good influence, good impact. But all those outward things had quietly become his foundation, his cornerstone, his source. So what did God do? He didn't destroy him, but he pruned him. He stripped away the need to be everywhere and gave him the discipline to control his time and his calendar, confronted his dependence on platform and forced him into a season of honesty, of counseling with wise elders and with rerouting. And on the other side of that crisis, Lecrae said this, God wasn't trying to take something from me. He was simply trying to give me himself again. I love that. God wasn't trying to take something from me. He was trying to give me himself again. That's pruning. Not God removing something evil, but God removing something you started to rely on in place of him so that you would turn and rely on him again. Pruning is not punishment. Pruning is when God cuts back what is good so you don't lose sight of what is best. Pruning is not punishment. It's preparation. So friends, that's a little bit of a harder question this morning. What in your life is good, maybe even really good, but it's so good that it is quietly replacing what matters most in life, your connection to Jesus? What in your life is good, but quietly replaces what matters most in life? Basket three, that's more fruit. That's fruit on top of fruit. And then you have to have basket three, really, so you get to basket four. Basket four is abundant fruit. Basket four is not big enough to hold all the fruit that comes off the branch. This is the goal, the life that reflects Jesus clearly and consistently in every circumstance. And again, let's clarify this for where we are, the difference between pruning. Pruning is what's going to take place always to make you more fruitful. Discipline is what happens early when there's little or no fruit so that you'll have some fruit. Discipline deals with sin. Pruning deals with distraction. Discipline deals with sin. Pruning deals with distraction. In pruning, he removes what keeps you from growing. In discipline, God removes what is really killing you. And just like we said last week with the good shepherd, if there is a good shepherd seeking to guide us, there are false shepherds who would speak with false voices. If the true vine is Jesus that we want to remain connected to, there are false vines that we can connect to. Our need to control others, our definition of success or our pursuit of money or resting our identity on the opinions of others. Whatever you draw life from, whatever you draw life from becomes your vine. And so friends, this good news right here, this is why I had to add that ninth verse. I didn't add it. It was already there. It's why I chose to read it and end the reading there. It's this whole thing. It's about the love of the Father. Because Jesus is telling us, this is the secret. Jesus says, here is the secret to my success. Here is the secret to my life. I know the Father loves me. And I remain in His love. Hear that so clearly, friends. Most of us are taught, life teaches most of us. Life teaches us that we do things to get love. And y'all, this is where Jesus is just doing deep surgery right here. He wants to remind us that we have the love of the Father and that when the love of the Father grows, we desire nothing but to obey Him. It's not obedience to get love. It's obedience that flows out of the deep security and knowledge of love. Connection to Jesus is not driven by discipline, the Father's discipline, or our self-discipline, our white-knuckling the future. Connection to Jesus is not driven by discipline. It is only sustained by love. Connected to the Father's love, you'll want nothing more than to please Him and to walk in obedience. So the question is, let's just be simple. How do we stay connected? Right? How do we stay connected? I'll give you just a couple of action items. Number one, just stay connected. Stay connected. Staying connected means daily attention. You can't stay connected to someone you never pay attention to. I mean, that moment of prayer. I mean, that moment of engaging with God's Word in the Scripture. And let's be clear that this is not a mechanical or rote. This is not a to-do list. Again, because we can get on that to-do list and think, well, we've got to do this to prove to God that we love Him. No, it's just a matter of positioning yourself in a place where you can receive the love of the Father. And you'll miss a day. Just don't miss two. I mean, right, that's what you tell yourself when you go to the gym, you do your workout or your exercise. It's okay. You have a cheat day, right? Eat the cheesecake, right? But don't do it 2 days in a row, right? Don't skip a day, but get back on the next day. You can't stay connected to someone you never pay attention to. If you miss a day, okay, but just don't miss two. Daily attention to the presence of God, the Word of God. Daily attention. Honest surrender. Honest surrender. Daily attention and honest surrender. The thing about the vine and the branches is where there are branches that have fallen down off the trellis and have gotten matted up with dust and dirt. You would think those would be the places the Father would just walk by that. He would not see that. But no, He sees it. And He'll lift those vines, those broken branches back up together, and He will clean them off and He'll tie them back on the trellis so they can get full exposure to oxygen and to sunlight. And then He comes back later and there it is. The grapes are starting to grow again because they've been exposed to the things that cause life and light. So don't hide from the vine dresser. Don't hide from the vine dresser. Be honest and surrender what needs to be surrendered before God. Whether it's sin that needs to be disciplined or some aspect of self-focus, something good that needs to be surrendered for something better. Open yourself. Open yourself to the presence of the Father. That's why, I mean, yeah, we talk about the baby and whether the baby cries or not, but that's something amazing about the baptism of a child. Because that child is vulnerable. That child is entrusted to mom and dad and entrusted to the preacher, you know, to walk around and all this. But the child is really exposed in a way, completely dependent. See, if we could only come to the Father with that sort of dependence and radical honesty in our hearts. To say, yes, Father, convict me. Yes, Father, prune me. Help me become the person You want me to be so that the fruit will be overflowing for You. Honesty, honest surrender. And number three, daily attention, honest surrender, and a shared life. A shared life. Christians don't produce fruit alone. Y'all, you've never done it. You've never gone to the grocery store and on your list come back and say, oh yeah, I got a grape. You hadn't done it. If you did, guys, you didn't call home and ask your wife what she meant on the grocery list. Nobody comes home with one grape. Grapes don't grow individually on vines. Grapes grow in clusters, right? In whole bunches together. Friends, spiritual fruit in the church, in the people of God, it grows the same way. It grows when we're together. When we're together in covenant and in commitment, and our lives are open not only to God, but open to one another. Y'all, I'm so excited. We now have four adult small groups, Bible study groups, group that meet after this worship service. Four, there may need to be five or six. We'll have to find a place to do that. You might have to do it in your car. But y'all, shared life. Shared life is the key to the growth of fruit. And it's the help to staying connected. So here's the question. Where are you disconnected? Where do you know right now the Spirit of God's already sort of prompted you? Where are you disconnected? Not the whole thing. No, we don't solve it all today. But one place. What's one place you know you're experiencing a lack of connection to the true vine, Jesus? Maybe it's a habit that keeps rearing its ugly head. You can't kill it. Maybe it's a relationship that is straining you beyond your ability to bear. Maybe it's a place you're putting your identity, and you recognize that your whole life has been caught up in this one part of life, a good part of life, but you've given it a place of primacy, a place of importance that's beyond where it should be. Or maybe it's simply a distraction. Something that has been good for a season, and you know that season is past, and you need to offer that. You've gotten used to it, you love it, and maybe it's time to just offer that thing to God, that distraction to God, and say, let's leave this childish thing behind and move on to maturity. What's one step this week that you can take that helps you reconnect to the true vine? Because you know this, you don't produce life, you receive life. You don't manufacture fruit, you receive fruit. So stay connected, because life only grows. Life only flows where that connection grows. Life only flows where that connection grows. Friends, our prayer team will be here as we sing our last song. God's Spirit may be prompting you, and you want to respond in a physical, in a tangible way, and come pray over one of those things that has caused a breach in your connection. You may want to stay in prayer or catch one of our prayer team after the service is done, and they'll take you to one of the prayer rooms, and you can continue that even after we go into fellowship in our group time. You may also hear this message today and recognize that you are not in connection and maybe never have been in connection. And you know that this is the time. You say, Pastor, I'd like to let Jesus Christ really be Lord and Savior of my life. I want to know that my sins are forgiven and that I'm living in connection even now, so that the life of Jesus, you know, your life is no longer enough. Apart from Him, you don't want to do anything else. And you want to find life and hope, true abundance, in connection to the vine. Again, you can come to our prayer team, or you can catch me while we sing or after this service. Let's pray that together and make sure that connection is whole and healthy. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, vine dresser, gardener, do everything you have to do, Father, so that fruit might be born in our lives. Not just a little fruit, but even more fruit. Teach us by your Spirit to remain in you, to remain in Christ, so that we are willing and open branches for your presence to remain now and forever. Amen.